I've been given some more notices to bring. And just a reminder that the offering boxes are at the front and there's one at the back, so we don't put a bag around. You're awesome.
Welcome to church. How you been? You still here? Very good. Very good. That's not light. You know, it's been a tough, I would say, 6 years. It's been tough. The intensity in the body of Christ across the world, not just here, across the world in the Western church. God is looking for something and he's found it. He's found what he's looking for, a people who are again hungry, hungering after righteousness, hungering after the presence of God, hungering for a move of the Spirit, hungering to see him do something fantastic that they've heard, maybe even been a part of. I came in the charismatic move. I was 20 years of age, brought up a Catholic, never knew why Jesus died for me on the cross, okay? Never knew. Brought up in legalism, it was the law, it held me, but it was as dry as chips. And by the time I was 18 and finished school, I said, that's it. And I went down the back of a church in Catholic church. I don't have anything against them. I think there are great people in there. But I said to the Lord, I said, that's it. I can't do this anymore. This is dry. I think you're dead. And I can't do this. And then I said to him, if you want me, you know where I am and you will find me. And guess what? It only took him 2 years. And he did. He found me. And he found me not in religious circles. He threw me in to a place where all these young people who'd never heard about Jesus, they came from Lutheran circles, Catholic circles, Uniting circles, Presbyterian circles, could have even been, I don't know, they were driest places, the driest places. You would think there would never be a move of God, and the Spirit of God started to breathe and we saw miracles. I remember laying hands on someone. I was still coming out of the world. I'd gone to uni. I was going to go into the banking world and be this hotshot woman that Westpac wanted all these women leaders now all of a sudden. I was going to go up that tree real fast. And then all of a sudden, final year of uni. My sister couldn't, she kept bugging me. You got to come to these things. You got to come to them. No, I don't want to come to these things. So I said, Lord, I'll go to one. God, I'll go to one. Then that's it. That's what I told her. I'll go to one. That's it. And then you'll leave me alone. And so she brought me to this thing and people preach like you're going to hell. That's what I heard. You're going to hell if you don't have God. You're going to hell. And I thought, oh my God, really? Don't like the sound of that. Anyway, I thought, whew, it's nothing I'm getting at uni talking like that to me. I was 20 years of age. God was not on my radar. You've got to understand, not on these, there were thousands of young people. God was not on their radar. We were out living life. We were going to parties. God was not there. There was no presence of God. There was no drawing. And then all of a sudden, bang, there was a move of God and thousands of young people were running into Catholic charismatic circles. They were running there. Why? Because they saw Jesus heal. They saw him deliver. I saw fantastic things. And I thought, this is God. He's alive. He's real. And then they told me, if you don't get into this, if you don't give your heart to the Lord, if a bus hits you and there's a good chance, you know, they used to say this a lot, there's a good chance. If a bus hits you, you're going to hell. And I thought, oh, my God, that's pretty rough. But it was straight preaching. It was do or die, 100% in or 100% out. You're either in the kingdom or you're out. You are in the light, you're in the dark. Like, that's how I came in. And then God, just to cement that in, gave me a dream. See, because there was prayer, there was all this prayer going on, prior. There would have been 40 years of a build-up of a move of God, and then bang, it hit. So I owe my salvation to those older people who stood in the gap for a move of God. What are we doing? We are standing in the gap for a move of God. And it's going to be full of young people. When Jesus shows up, they are going to come from the highways and the byways. They're going to have as much mess and mud and gunk as you can believe because of the things that have gone on. They're going to be so confused. But in a moment of time, the presence of God is going to hit and they're going to get cleaned up. And they are going to run because they don't want the world. I was speaking to a young man in JB Hi-Fi, of all places, Greek Orthodox, I think he was. And I said to him, I said, "You're on my prayer list." He went, "Ooh, what does that mean?" I said, "Only the real special people get on my prayer list." And there was a hunger in him. He was searching me. I could feel him searching me because his life was such a mess. He was looking for a rock. And when he looked at me, I looked back at him and I said, "You're going to be all right." I said, "I have a word for you. God has not forgotten you." And when I gave that to him, something ignited. I know there was a seed sown. And when I left, I knew God is moving behind the scenes. There is going to come a point in time when there will again be Jesus' presence flowing over us like a river. It will flow. But these are the times that God is asking the Joshuas and the Calebs who have a different spirit to stand and to not give up. No matter what happens, there is a river that is, and the West knows it. People that I listen to, I'm listening to people in Scotland, I'm listening to people in America, and they are on fire. And they are standing. They are standing for a move. I'm hearing it all over. It is on our shores. Do not. This is like the final run of the lap. Do not give up. So I wanted to share that with you because I came in with no knowledge of God and I just loved it. You know, I loved it and it's kept me ever since. It's kept me because it was a true gospel message. It was all your life or nothing. And the prodigals have left because religion has come in and they don't like it. They don't want it, but they've gone into the world. So there will be a whole harvest of prodigals coming back and they will probably be more on fire than me because they would have tasted darkness, how dark it has been, and they will be such shining lights for God. It's the truth. It's happened in Israel's history. It's happened in our history. Moves of God. And the ones prior will pay the highest price. And you will be such heroes in heaven because it is dry at times. The price is high to pay. People and family do crazy things at this time. Well, you have to get on your knees and you're weeping before God saying, "How can this be? How can this be?" And he will say to you, "It's the darkness. And as you stand, the light will shine and it will get stronger." And so with that, that's my introduction. I've got about 5 minutes left. Okay, we ready? You ready for this? This is actually my, that was just something. I don't know what that was. Righto, we've got Revelations 12:11. This is what I wanted to give you. I wanted to give you how I overcome darkness. Now, I use scripture. You got to understand scripture. It is the final authority. I don't care if an angel comes to you, Jesus himself walks through the wall, get a word, any of that. If it doesn't line up with scripture, you got to get rid of it. Scripture is your final authority. Why? Because the word, Jesus was the word. Jesus' name was the word before he came to the earth and we know him as Jesus. The word was made flesh. It is the supreme authority in your life. So I use scripture as stepping stones. I use scripture. And then from there, I'll get a dream. From there, I'll get a word. And if it doesn't line up, I put it on a shelf. But the word will not fail you. Revelation 12:11. The Living Version says they overcame him. So this is like in the future. But if anybody is overcoming, I want to know how they did it. Revelation 12:11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives, even in the face of death. All right, there's three. This scripture is a scripture full of hope. I know the end bit, you know, it's a bit, you know, that's martyrdom, okay, in its fullest sense. So anyway, it has hope for you. It has hope for me. This scripture is the way to overcome darkness in us. In us first. God will deal with you and I first. Then he will make you stand for your family. And then from that, you'll start to continue to grow. Okay? So it's in you and me. That's what this refiner's fire has been. It has not been the miracles. It has not been the signs and wonders. It has been the refining fire inside us, inside our hearts. It is burning away. God wants to burn away the things that have held us back, the unbelief, the doubt, any addictions. The addictions are coming forward, addictions to gambling, addictions to pornography, addictions to alcohol, drugs, in the church, in the people of God. He wants the roots of these things he's dealing with. Okay, those things can be broken. Why? By the blood of the Lamb. It takes repentance. Those stronger things takes repentance, and then it takes accountability. You've got to be accountable to someone. So the light will come on it. But you can break free, and you can be free from these things. So to overcome means to succeed in dealing with a problem or difficulty. To overcome means to prevail over opposition or temptations. To overcome means to defeat our weaknesses. To overcome means to gain victory, to win, to conquer. Righto. So I want to gain victory. I want to win and I want to conquer. That's in me. That's in your DNA. You want to do that. Whether you feel like it or not, it's there. It's inside you. How are we going to do it? The blood of the Lamb. So that's Jesus dying for us. He is the perfect one. He was without sin. We are not perfect. Have you found that out? Has the burning been on your lips, on your mouth, on what you say, on how you speak about others, gossip, slander? Hey, come on. Certainly been on mine. Had to go and repent to a few people. That's what it does. The burning. God is burning. He is burning darkness. So with Jesus dying for us, he did what we could never do. That's why we owe him our lives. We are forgiven of sin. There's healing for our body, and heaven is open. In 3 days, when Jesus was dead in the tomb, this is what I believe, he went to hell. He went to the place where Satan took the keys to hell, death, and the grave, and that's when Jesus took them back. So I believe full authority was one of the cross. That's Matthew 28:18. All authority. This is Jesus speaking. All authority has been given to him. That's Jesus in heaven and on earth. So he has it all. He has it all. And if we stay with him, authority will grow. Your authority will grow. Okay, we can't stand here and take authority over the Jezebel spirit. Why? Because you got to deal with that stuff in you. You got to deal with that stuff in your family. We got to deal with that stuff in this church. And then as the other churches start to deal with it, we start to unite and authority multiplies. And then we replace it. Okay? That's how it works. So God wants a people that stay with the Lord all their days. Once you accept Jesus, he does. He steps inside you. He steps inside you. You become born again and you become a son or daughter right at that point. So that means there's tremendous value. You are valuable to God. You are the apple of his eye. He knows the number of hairs on your head. There's a table that he sets before you in the presence of your enemy. God is for you, not against you. Jesus says he will always be with you, even to the end of the age. It's 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you, that you should be called a child of God. I remember I didn't have a great relationship with my dad. I just didn't. Similar. Used to butt heads. You know, he was fiery Hungarian, came from out of Hungary, 17 years of age, left his family. There was a war. Russians had taken his home, his family. He came to Australia with nothing, didn't know the language. He was an amazing man, and he was strong. He was strong-willed, and I am strong-willed. So we had some clashes. We had some clashes, but he taught me. He taught me things. He taught me to be grateful to live in Australia. He taught me to be grateful for freedom. He taught me to work hard, to not be a slacker, you know, but I didn't get on well with him. So when I came into the things of God, I had to get my relationship with my father right, my heavenly father. And so I forgave. I started to forgive my dad, forgave him. And then I started to use that 1 John 3:1, and I said that probably about 1,000 times. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon me. And I just kept saying it. I kept saying it. And then all of a sudden, one day, I knew I was in the family of God. I don't know. The scripture did something on the inside. So that's what you do. There's power in the word, power in the word. Second one. Righto, I've got 2 minutes. Overcoming by the word of our testimony. Trials are a part of your life. Trials are a part of the Christian walk. And if you want to be used of God, you will be tested, you will be shaken, you'll be turned upside down, the rug will be ripped out of you, anything that you've put your trust in will be shaken. And if you have roots in there that are not of God, he wants them, okay? So this season has been the root-bearing season where God wants to deal with things. It's Joseph. It's been said of Joseph, the word of the Lord in Psalm 105, the word of the Lord tested him. The word of the Lord tested Joseph. That's Jacob's son, Joseph, the 12 sons, yeah? The one that got thrown in the well, the one that got sold as a slave, the one that got falsely accused, that ended up in jail for 2 years, forgotten by all. Injustice, 13 years. And then what happened? In due time. God had not forgotten him. In due time, after 13 years of trial, Joseph was used, what? To save a nation. The bigger the trial, the bigger the testing, the greater the call. The greater the call. Just hang in there. The greater the call. What did he call his sons? Manasseh, the first one, the Lord has made me forget. God will make you forget hard times. He will be able to wash and cleanse those things that have hurt you. If you forgive and if you bless those that curse you, he will help your heart. His second son's name was Ephraim. God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Fruitfulness will come from valleys. I am telling you, they are the most fruitful places, the valleys, the trials. They stink, they hurt, they go on and on. But I'm telling you, if you keep your hand in God, there'll be something built in you that when God knows it is the right time, he will release you, and there'll be so much of the life and the love of God in you that it will just flow. It's not religion, it's relationship. We cannot perform because Jesus did it for us. We cannot perform. We are beyond performance. We are beyond. We need God, and he is showing up. Okay, the third thing, overcoming by our lives, even unto death. Okay, that is martyrdom, and people are dying for their faith today. But, our, you know, for us in the West at this present time, our highest call is to be like Christ. So that is the death of our selfishness. God wants our selfishness. He wants to deal with us always thinking about ourselves, putting ourselves first. He wants Jesus. Jesus was not a selfish man, but he enjoyed life. He had friends. He laughed. And he saved us by dying on the cross. And that's what the refining fire is about. It's not about pride. It's not about ego. It's not about, I am an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist, and I hope you are. But my God, you are going to be tested. My God, you know, and I pray for you, and I hope to God that you come through the other end. But if you come in lowly, if you come in like 1 Peter 5:5, God resists the proud but gives his grace to the humble. I'm telling you, that's the shortest path. So go low. Righto? If you go high with the arrogance and all of that, you're going to go around that mountain a couple of hundred times, okay? And I'll see you when you do your couple of hundred, because I've tried that. It doesn't work. Doesn't work. It's better to just humble yourselves. That means be teachable. Admit your mistakes, be thankful, listen to others, serve them when you can, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Due time will come. I prophesy that over you. Due time will come. Due time will come. We're coming into a season of due times. Due time will come. Due time came for Job. He got twice as much. He lost all, but he got twice as much. Due time came for David, shepherd boy, into a king. Saved a nation. Due time came for Joseph, slave to second in charge. Due time came for Esther, an orphan to a queen. Saved the Jewish race. Come on, due time. Due time. I declare it over you. I prophesy it. Anything that has made you despair, that has made you doubt, that has made you just want to crawl away into a cave and not come back out again, I just, in Jesus' name, call you out and declare due time. Due time is your portion. And you shall rise. You shall rise from those ashes. You shall rise from whatever has come against you. You shall rise, and there shall be an authority on you. There shall be an authority on you to bless others and to help them and to be like Jesus. And when those young people come in, they are looking for the rock on the inside of us, and you'll be, and I will be able to give it to them. And from there, they will go on. From the standard that we are raising now, when people get born again, this is my belief, they will come into a standard that they know. They're a refiner's fire, and they will go on, and it will be a glorious move that, in my opinion, will go for a couple of generations, and we will see the nations shake and come to the Lord. I believe that. I believe that. Because God's presence and power will be carried by his people. We will carry it. We will carry it. And it will be absolutely fabulous. So stay the course. Stay the course. Due time will come. Refiner's fire is worth it. Some days I don't think so. But the refiner's fire is worth it. Why? Because due time will come. So God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you, sister. You guys have a double whammy today. Double dosage. This is part two. I just want to honor my beautiful sister, Liz. She is a powerhouse for God. She is amazing. You know, God has used Liz in my life. She was a David in my Goliath situation, and that giant came down. Thank you, Liz. I know Tim's not here today. He's in Gander, but he will definitely listen to this. So, Brother Tim, we love you. I honour you. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak to our house today. Beautiful brothers and sisters of mine. And we honour you. We honour you and Bonnie, Lord God, for all that you do. Day and night, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay, this morning I'm going to speak about choice. Because we all have choice, don't we? God created us not to be robots, but to have choice. He said to choose life or death, and that's up to us. It's the wonder of the choice. You know, there is such wonder in choosing. And, you know, when it comes to the end of it, God chose you first before the creation of the world. He chose you first before you were in your mother's womb. Then he waits and he says, are you going to choose me back? You know, and all of us have chosen him. We have chosen him, but he chose us first. And I love that. There's such a love story It's a love story. It's like, no matter what we go through, no matter the trials, no matter how hard the enemy tries to take us out and get us off God, we still chose him. There is such power in that. We have sinned against a holy God, so we actually deserve judgment for our sins. But it's the wonder that God sent a Redeemer to save us. It's a wonder because God forgives our sins. It's the wonder because God adopts us as children. It's a wonder because God gives us a new nature. It's a wonder because God makes a home with him forever. You know, God's creating your home right now in heaven. It's actually happening. And when you get there, you'll have this beautiful mansion. I wonder if we're going to care about the mansion. The greatest wonder is that God chose us for himself. He chose you for himself. And I know we find that really difficult to actually believe, but it is the truth. The wisdom of choice. You know, when you choose God, there is such wisdom in that, because those who belong to Christ have the grace to help in time of need. It's wise to choose Jesus. It's wise because those who choose Jesus have the power over sin. It's wise because in Christ we have authority over Satan. It's so wise to choose Christ, even when it's difficult. By choosing Jesus, we have the victory over the world. So it's a wise choice. But as we all know in this room, there is a weight of the choice. And I mean the weight as in carrying weight. We must submit to Christ. Our lives are not our own. We must follow him, denying ourselves. We must obey Christ, serving in his kingdom. So choose Jesus today. I love that. But you know what? The reason I wanted to speak about choice is that we choose God every minute of every day, don't we? We're always choosing between life and death, blessing and cursing. It's a constant thing. All right, so I'm going to take you to scripture now. This is Deuteronomy 30, and it's Moses speaking to the people. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you will cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. God is, how do we choose him? How do we choose him? By saying, Lord, you are my Savior, by loving him, by worshiping him, by serving him in everything that we do. Jesus said, and this is 1,500 years later after this, after Moses' speech. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that's how you choose life. In everything you do, you choose Jesus. It's not always the easy way, is it? There are so many hard turns. And as Liz was saying to us, you know, in due time, I was 19 when I became a Christian, when I gave my heart to the Lord. And we've got a very similar story because I come from a Catholic background. And I used to be in church and I used to, like, to be honest with you, I actually hated it. I was in there, I was so bored. And I'd be telling my brother to say, like, rude words in church just to make my grandmother angry. So I'm telling you, I was in the wrong place, but I just didn't sense the Lord. He was on the cross. Like, you see him on the cross and all the statues and stuff. And then I was 19. I gave my heart to the Lord because I was taken to such a low point in my life. Darkness was all around me. And I even remember back then, and I didn't know what it was at the time, but I know now, I remember feeling like claws at my back, literally holding onto me. And I literally felt that within my physical body. And when I experienced deliverance, when someone said, in Jesus' name, those things left me. And it was such an experience that no one can take that from me. You know, no one can take your testimony from you, from dark to light. So I was 19 and now I'm 46. And the Lord is using me in ways I never wanted. I never said to God, oh, I want to preach, Lord. I want to speak your word. That wasn't on my agenda, believe me. The singing, yes. I could do that underwater with marbles in my mouth and I'd still have fun, you know. I'd still worship him from under the water. But speaking, no. The Lord had it. So imagine what he has for each and every one of you in due time. It will happen. You know, another story that I want to bring to you, just to bring to light the way that we choose Jesus, the way that we choose his word practically every day. When we went through the experience of not being able to have children, and the Lord, the day we got the diagnosis, he gave me a vision and he showed me my heart tearing. He said, if you do IVF, your heart will break. And I literally saw like the blood vessels and everything coming out of my heart. It was a very graphic image. I had to hold on to God and say, Lord, in your word, it says in the beginning, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. And that's just in Genesis, let alone all the other promises that he has. And I had family members coming up to me saying, I will even pay for you to do IVF. But no, I had to cling on to God because that's what he told me to do. So whatever it is that he has told you to do, you cling on to that with everything you have, everything, because his word cannot fail. He cannot fail. You know, we sing that song, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. Because he will answer, he will answer, he will come through. What's the time, by the way? I just don't want to go, 10 to. Okay, we're nearly there, guys, because you've been getting double dosage today. I understand. It's a lot. I just want to read something from the Amplified Version. And it's from John 20. Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, do you now believe? Because Thomas was a bit of a doubter. You know, we go through times in our life where we're like, Lord, are you really going to come through here? You know, I've been going down this path a long time. I've been asking the same thing over and over again. Are you really going to come through for me? And sometimes it's like, Lord, we need to see you before we believe. But Jesus says, no, you've got to believe first. Then he says, blessed, happy, spiritually secure and favored by God are they who do not see me and yet believe in me. You know how blessed you are that you believe in Jesus, yet you have not physically seen him? If some of you have had that opportunity, because I know the Lord can do absolutely anything, praise God. But for the majority of us, we haven't actually physically seen Jesus. The 12 walked with him. The 12 of them saw amazing miracles, and yet Thomas is like, nah. And then God's saying, how blessed you are because you haven't seen the man, yet you believe. Amazing. Let me read one more scripture to you. Jesus appears to Thomas. I just love the way that the Passion Translation brings this out. One of the 12 wasn't present when Jesus appeared to them. It was Thomas, whose nickname was the twin. So the disciples informed him, we have seen the Lord with our own eyes. Still unconvinced, so this is when Jesus rose from the dead, Thomas replied, there's no way I'm going to believe this unless I personally see the wounds of the nails in his hands, touch them with my finger and put my hand into the wound of his side where he was pierced. So that's Thomas. Then 8 days later, so this is 8 days later, Thomas and all the others were in the house together. And even though all the doors were locked, Jesus suddenly stood before them. Can you imagine that right now? Jesus is like, oh, here I am. Hey, Lord. Actually, I don't think I'd be that casual. I wouldn't be that casual. And he said to them, peace to you. Then looking into Thomas's eyes, he said, put your finger here in the wounds of my hands. Here, put your hand into my wounded side and see for yourself. Thomas, don't give in to your doubts any longer. Just believe. Then the words spilled out of his heart. You are my Lord and you are my God. Jesus responded, Thomas, now that you've seen me, you believe. But there are those who have never seen me with their eyes but have believed in me with their hearts, and they will be blessed even more. That's you. That's me. Thank you, Lord. Jesus went on to do many more miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not even included in this book. Can you imagine? There's other stuff we haven't read that happened. But all that is recorded here is so that you would fully believe that Jesus is the anointed one, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you will experience eternal life by the power of his name. I love that. We have eternal life with God, with Jesus, because we choose him. He chose you first. You choose him now. Choose him in everything that you do. If the worship team want to come up, that would be great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brothers and sisters. You know, for us that get up here and speak to you, there is such a weight, a heaviness that's put on us. It's not easy to get up here and speak because there's such a responsibility. You know, the Lord wants us to speak from his word. He wants us to speak to your heart and for your life to be changed. So if anything from these messages today, stay the course, like Liz said. In due time, the Lord will use you in amazing ways. And believe in him. Even when you don't see, believe. You know, another thing, as we were in worship this morning, the Lord said, I want you to tell something to my people. And I'm like, okay, Lord, what's that? He said, I want them to have fun. He simply said, in your week, I want them to have fun. Do you know why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Sometimes in this life, and I'm very guilty of this, we can get so caught up and so serious and bogged down with everything, but have some fun. Get out there. I saw the Bulldogs yesterday down at Bagara, and they had a ball and they're playing with the ball and they're having good, clean fun. They were so united. That was so joyful. And I'm thinking, hang on, we need to be more like them in that joyful, that come on, smile, no matter what's happening. Life's good. God's on your side.
Blessings. Thank you. Hey, look, just while Liz and Danielle are both of us speaking, I just really sense that there's a real stirring going on in the spirit, like as on a personal level. And if that's spoken to you today, do something with that. You know, actually say to the Lord, you know, that's spoken to me and I want to be more like this or more like that, or I want to choose you or whatever that is. Because, you know, this morning before we came and I was praying in my quiet time, I just really felt that, you know, the Lord's bringing us into a season of greater faith, a greater faith in him, and trusting him for everything that we need. And so look, if it's spoken to you, just as we go through the song, respond. Or if you'd like to come down the front and be ministered to, come. And I'd also like to say to anyone here that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you a question. Is there any reason why you shouldn't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today? And come down and have the opportunity to respond. So bless you. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Oh, we love you, Jesus. I just won't speak the name of Jesus till every dark dish starts to grow. Declaring love's hope and that it is freedom. I speak Jesus as Lord. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is silence. Break every storm. Break it, Lord. Shine through the shadow. Burn like a fire. Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Over faith, walks to you. To every soul encountered depression, I speak Jesus. Oh, yeah, yeah. Your name is power. Yes. Your name is He. Break every storm, break it, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power, your name is power, your name is healing, your name is love, God is Lord. Break every storm. Break it, Lord, break it. Through shadows, burn like a fire. Yes, we're going to do it. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the street. Jesus in the darkness over there. Jesus for my Break every storm, shine the shadows, burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is power. Oh, Jesus, break every storm, word, the shadows, burn the I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart, every mind. Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I speak the name of Jesus over your lives this week, today. No matter what you do, I speak life. I speak the name of Jesus over you, that there'd be healing. You would be set free. You would cling to him more than you ever, ever have. You would go to him. You would run to him. And you would find the joy of the Lord, because that's your strength. That's your strength. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. We have refreshments at the back if you'd like. Just hang around. Tell someone you love them.